I know we left off from Matthew chapter 8 this morning, and we're going to pick back up in Matthew chapter 8 for another story there because of what Jesus had been doing up to this point. Now, to give you a little ahead of time warning, whenever I first built this PowerPoint, I made my title slide. And then I said, well, I need to do my introduction, but it needs to be before the title. And then I said, well, this needs to be before that. And before you knew it, I had this entire PowerPoint built before I ever got back to my title slide. So whenever we finally get to the title of the sermon this afternoon, that will be the conclusion of the sermon and not that we're just now starting it. Not to worry anybody, but to pick back up. Okay, so we were in Matthew chapter 8 this morning. We know that Jesus was going through the coast there. He's been healing all these people. He had finished the Sermon on the Mount. The people were all astonished because of how Jesus was teaching. And now as he's going through there, he's healing all these people. He's healing the lepers. He's healed the centurion's helper, he's healed the blind and all these things that he's done, but what we see is in verse 18, you have now a great multitude that is now following Jesus. And it says, and when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And so here we have this first guy in verse 20, a scribe that has come to him, one of his disciples that he has picked up along the way, because as he's been going through these areas and the regions around, he's picked up these people because they've seen what he's able to do. He's speaking as one that has authority. He's healing people. And now he has a multitude of people following him. And now Jesus has this golden opportunity to teach us about the cost of being a disciple of his. Okay, now the second guy, he says, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. So, we have two different disciples here of this multitude of disciples that are following Jesus. And these two different disciples have come to him, both of them claiming, hey, I'm going to follow you. Whithersoever you go, I'm going to follow you. And another one said, hey, I'm going to follow you, but first I need to go bury my father. So Jesus had responsive for him. Jesus to the first one, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I want you to note that Jesus did not reject this man. This man said, I want to follow you. Jesus did not say, you can't. I'm sorry, you're not worthy to follow me. I know the build of people that can follow me, and you don't meet that criteria, okay? You can't follow me. Jesus didn't lay it out like that. He told him, you want to follow me? But look, I don't have a place to go. The foxes of the earth, they have holes that they can go to. The birds of the air, they have nests. But the Son of Man, he doesn't even have a place that he can lay his head. And you want to follow me? You see, he's teaching them about the cost of being a follower of his. A lot of times, whenever we're talking with new Christians, those just joining the faith, we fail sometimes to mention what it will take to follow Jesus. Because there's a great cost that comes with following him. Jesus never said, you cannot follow me. In fact, that he invites everybody to follow him. But Jesus was warning him about the price of discipleship. It's a cost that we should all take into consideration, because there is a cost to follow Jesus. We may all have stories of friends that no longer want to hang out with us, or family members that don't want to hang out with us, co-workers that don't agree with us because we have a different view than them. There's all these different costs that we have whenever it comes to following Jesus, and to follow him in spirit and in truth, and to not compromise on his word, because his word is unwavering and we should be unwavering in his word. That doesn't mean that we should hate people or treat people bad because they believe different than us, but that we're not going to compromise our stance on what the Bible says. But there's a cost to follow Jesus. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's not always easy, should I say. It's easier to be a Christian whenever you're in a group of Christians. You're able to sing with Christians, to pray with Christians, to hug each other's necks. You know, just to have that fellowship, there's a great blessing that we have in that. But whenever you get out away from the church, away from your church family, and you're living your life Monday through Saturday, and you're surrounded with the people of the world, it becomes a little bit harder. Because whenever they're doing something and you're not doing it, and they look at you like you're strange, and you don't want to be looked at like you're strange, so you say, well, I can participate in this right now because I don't want them to think I'm different. We compromise sometimes so as to avoid those negative views. Sometimes, in fact, you will hear somebody saying something that you know to be false or wrong, and rather than stick up for what you know the word to say, you'll say, I won't say anything. You might use the excuse, I won't say anything because I don't know where it is, so I won't say it. You know, I know it's in there, I know that's not right, but I don't know where it's at, so I'm going to be silent. But we make excuses for ourselves as to why we can't take up for the word at times. I don't want them to hate me. I know, I understand exactly what you're saying. I do. But the cost of discipleship is great, and we must count that cost. It's not easy. So the other one of his disciples comes to Jesus, and he says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest, but first suffer me to go bury my father. I didn't understand necessarily the concept that he's talking about there. Lord, I'll follow you, but I've got something to do first. I want to follow you upon my own terms. Essentially, this guy wants to follow Jesus, but not yet. How many times have you heard someone tell you that, oh, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to go to heaven whenever I die, but I'm still young. I want to live my life right now. I got so much to live for. I don't want to give it to the Lord yet. And that's essentially what this guy is doing. I will follow you, but on my own terms, I'm going to follow you. Whenever it's more convenient for me to follow you, I mean, we actually have something to do first before we're going to follow you, Lord. When it's convenient. And so we know of the case of Felix there in Acts chapter 24, verse number 24. Whenever Felix and Drusilla, his wife, have this council with Paul. And they bring Paul before him. It says in verse 24, after some days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Essentially, that's what so many today have the notion. So many of the younger generation today have that notion of, it's not convenient for me yet. A lot of my fellow classmates, you know, I know we're getting older than the younger ones that we see coming up before us, but even talking to them, you know, about church, about going to serve the Lord or being committed to Christ, it's not convenient for me yet. I've got so much to live for yet. I've got so many things left to do. But whenever I get older, Jason, whenever I'm older and I'm settled down, you know, I've had all the fun that I can have, then I'll start going to church. Then I'll give my life to Christ. And I can't tell you how many of my friends haven't made it to their 30th birthday because they wanted to have that fun time first. 30 never came for them. 34 will never come for them. They had their good time, but that convenient season never ended for them. They were never able to give themselves to Christ. What about us? Do we follow the Lord upon our own terms when it's only convenient for us? We have to fully commit to Christ, you see, because there's some times where we do want to commit to Christ. We do want to be a Christian. But rather than committing everything that we have to Him, we'll compromise. We'll say, you know what? I will be a Christian. I like to be a Christian. I like the idea of Christianity. I will be a Christian, especially on Sunday. But whenever I'm out with my friends, I'm going to do what they're doing, even though they don't go to church with me. And so we try to hold on sometimes to the things of the world, and we try to hold on to the things of the Lord, and we can't do both. And sometimes we become just religious enough to be miserable in our life, because we can never fully commit to the Lord as long as we're anchored down to the things of the world. We have to fully commit to the Lord. Jesus' response to the first one was, follow me, to the second one rather, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Don't put things before me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, we were told in Matthew 6:33, and all these things would be added unto thee. It's our job as a Christian to seek the kingdom of God first, to seek the things of Him first, to have faith in His word, to trust in Him that He's going to provide for us, to seek to do His will and not our own. By doing so, we let the dead bury the dead. Now, that's the thing. I know I can be silly at times, okay? But how does the dead bury the dead? This is the only thing I could come up with if it shows up. I mean, there's not an actual zombie out there carrying a shovel saying, oh, you know, I got another brother, let me come bury him. The dead burying the dead, what's that term mean? It's obviously not that, okay? That silliness. What is letting the dead bury the dead? Well, if we further looked into it, have you ever heard someone say to someone else, you're dead to me? Someone maybe disowns you from the family. You know, you might be brothers or a sister or whatever it is, but they disown you. They don't want nothing to do with you. You're dead to them, or they're dead to you. One of the two. Essentially, that's what Jesus is talking about. You have people out there that follow after the things of this world and tend to the things of this world, and they are dead to Christ. And whenever Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead, let the people that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God do that. You see, Jesus tells us that we learn there, Romans chapter 6, verse number 11, that likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ. You see a figure of it there. We are dead to sin. Whenever we give our lives to Christ, we've obeyed the gospel, had our sins taken away from, washed clean. We're dead to sin, or we should be. Because that's how Paul starts off there in Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, whenever we become dead to sin through obedience of the gospel, how are we going to say that we're following the Lord if we're continuing to live in the same state that we were before we start following the Lord? We're dead indeed to sin, but alive to God and Christ Jesus our Lord. Chapter 7, verse 4, he says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who is raised from the dead, that we should be bear fruit to God. Becoming dead to the law. The old law, they were no longer bound to that old law to follow the old law, but they were to live for Christ under that dispensation. So whenever he says, let the dead bury the dead, he's essentially talking about people that are dead to Christ, people that weren't going to follow Christ, that wasn't going to seek the kingdom of God first, people that we're going to fully commit to Him. We're going to live for Him. They were going to be dead to the world, dead to sin, but alive to Christ and alive to God through Christ. We have Peter and Andrew as Jesus is going along the Sea of Galilee. In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18, it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, what happened there? They were working with their father, they were casting nets, they were fishing, that was their trade. But here comes Jesus and he says, follow me. Verse 20. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. They stopped what they were doing. They didn't say, okay, hey, we'll be right there with you, but first let us finish up the day's work. They left their nets. I never thought as to how that might have made their father feel, you know, for leaving them like that. But they did. They left their nets and they went and followed Jesus. Look at another example, verse 21. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. You know what they did? There's a going trend here, alright? Very next verse. And immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. They didn't say, hold on, Jesus, we're going to follow you. Let us finish rolling up these nets real quick. Instead, he called them and they came. They followed him. Now, a little bit later on, as he's going, he's gone through the coast there. He's healed people. He's talked to these two disciples. And now in chapter 9, as he's passing from a different place here, he sees another man, Matthew, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." You already know where it's going, right? So he arose and followed him. They made a commitment to follow Christ. They were fully committed to Christ. And that's how we should be in our life to Christ. Whenever we obey the Lord in baptism and we choose to walk in that newness of life, that we should walk in newness of life, that we shouldn't say, "I'm going to follow you partly, Lord, but I'm also going to follow this." Rather, it should be, "I'm going to follow you, leaving all these things behind me," because they were what held me away from you in the first place. "I'm going to follow you, Lord." But we become emotionally attached to the things of this world, and sometimes we're not ready to let things go, and we just have to hold on to it a little bit longer. I'll let go of it one day, but right now I want to hold on to it and cherish it and love it because I enjoy this. That's fine. It's okay to enjoy some things of this world. Don't get me wrong. But whenever we can't let those things go to where we can't serve the Lord fully, we're anchored to the world and to the things of the world. We have to fully commit to Christ. Let the things go of this world. Let them die to you. Live for Christ. So, would you rather live for Christ and die to the world, or would you rather live for the world and die to Christ? Because essentially that's what's going to happen one day. Whenever we finally pass away or the Lord comes back before that time, something's going to happen. Either we're living for Christ and we're dying to the world, or we're living for the world and we're going to be dead to Christ. We'll be like that branch that was withered away, who he'll say, "Chop it down and cast it into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, fire." I mean, it's... Are you being pulled in two different directions today? So many of us sometimes are. We feel like we're pulled in two different directions. I understand, you know, I'm tempted in directions of the things of this world at times, just like you are, I'm sure. But you have to stay strong, keep your focus on the Lord, keep plowing ahead. Things may seem rough at times, but trust in the Lord, rely on His Word, have faith in His Word, lean upon your brothers and sisters in Christ, don't lean upon the things of this world. And that leads us to the title slide. Today it's time for us to let the dead bury the dead. Let the things of this world take care of the things of this world, but let's tend to the things of the Lord. Let's seek the kingdom of God first in our lives.